Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
My casual approach towards God and what I offer up on a daily basis is many times salad, when if I would come to Him and say to Him, "It is not me, O God, that has done this. You have done it all, and I come to You humbly because I am a sinner saved by grace."
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's continue on with Pastor Rogers in this new Wednesday night sermon series. This is By Faith. This is part two from that series. Let's go into the message today.
Who needs prayer when God's walking beside you in the cool of the day? I'm going to show you the creeping of religion into our day that we're living in right now that clouds and fogs us from true worship in spirit and in truth. Now, let me just, I got to throw this out of here before I forget. Cain is a type and symbol of the Antichrist that is to come. There was a mark put on him. We'll talk to you about it in a moment. But this particular instance right here shows us Cain's Cain's approach to God in worship. That was wrong. That was rebellious. That was absolutely against what God required. Now, you can give God what you want to give Him, but if you don't give Him what He requires, He rejects what you give Him. So you can come to church, you can sing all the songs, you can hear the sermon, and you can get involved in all kinds of things that are going on. But until it comes in truth and in spirit, until it comes, in other words, if you're sitting at the restaurant and you're there and the waiter comes up to you and he says, "What can I get for you?" And you say, "Listen, I want a ribeye, and here you go, I'm going to order yours, rare." Right? Okay, there you go. He wants it rare. And a baked potato with sour cream, no chives on that. Want a little bit, a lot of butter on that. Yeah, okay, good. So there it is. And the waiter goes in. He said, "Yes, sir, I got your order." And he goes into the kitchen and he comes back out and sets a big giant plate down of asparagus with some shrimp. And he says, "Excuse me, waiter, I did not order this." "Oh, but this is what I wanted to bring you." "I'm sorry, I didn't order this." "Yeah, but this is what I want to give you." "Well, I don't want shrimp. I wanted my steak. I wanted it this way. I wanted baked potato. I do not want shrimp, and I don't like asparagus. I don't want any asparagus coming here." "Well, this is all we have in the kitchen. And you better hurry up and take this because I've only got a short amount of time. And I won't be here tomorrow." "You going to be here now?" "No, I won't be here tomorrow. I got some games. I got some business. I got this. I got that. I got all these other things going on. So I'm only here to wait on one day a week. I'm part-time. I'm right here." Y'all can't say amen in here tonight. God is sitting at the table. And they that wait. But if you bring God something that He didn't order, He's going to push it back and say, "I didn't order that." This is what's going on here. Write this down. At harvest time, he came to worship God with the fruit of his hard work. This is the difference between grace and works. And there are so many people that are in the church today that base their religion and their relationship with God off of works. That if they do this, do that, do something else, then somehow they're in. If I say the right things, if I do the right things, then I'm in. And it nullifies true worship. It nullifies your relationship with God. And God said, "I didn't order your works." Unacceptable. Are y'all with me here tonight? How did Abel's sacrifice differ from that? Well, in the Bible there in Genesis chapter 4, you can see the entire story. Cain offers, the Bible tells us, here he comes. Abel offers a more excellent sacrifice. Cain offers a more pleasant, watch this. This is the problem with it. Because it was fruit that he had worked from the ground. I have a feeling he might have taken it and washed it off and made an incredible salad on top of the altar of sacrifice and said, God, look what I did for you. I did this for you, God. Come on, somebody. You're here in your own cell. God, I did this for you. I came to church for you. I lifted my hands for you. I prayed for you. Kind of quiet in here. I did all of these things for you. And God said, I don't want the work of your hands. Because it shows me the pride, the element of pride. The Bible says here in Genesis 4 that the Lord had respect. This is another terminology for that. Excellent. Respect, or he accepted Abel's sacrifice but rejected Cain's. Even though to our, now get a picture of this. Please get out of what you think now and what you're reading right here as Abel's acceptable sacrifice and Cain's rejected sacrifice. Look at them on face value. Here is Cain washing the fruit, labored in it, put hard work, sweat, and tears into it, gets all this fruit, puts it on the altar, offers it up to God, and if we looked at it, we would say, that looks incredible. I'm sure he brought the best of the field, not some blemished fruit. Here it is. We look at it, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's very pleasant to the eye. It's acceptable to man, but rejected by God. On the flip side of that, you have Abel's sacrifice. Get this. Here's Cain's, a beautiful salad, the best looking salad and fruit you've ever seen in your life. On this side, a bloody, massacred lamb split down the middle, blood running all over the place. The integrals of that lamb are laid out. The head is laid over. The legs are laid over. And here is a bloody, sacrificed mess. And to the natural eye, even to this day, people reject the cross because it is not a palatable salad. It is a bloody massacre. And until you understand that it was my sin, not my salad, that put him there, my sin, not his, then this is what it cost in worship. So my casual approach, boy, I feel my help here. My casual approach towards God and what I offer up on a daily basis is many times salad when if I would come to him and say to him, it is not me, O God, that has done this. You have done it all. And I come to you humbly because I am a sinner saved by grace. Now you're getting a picture of what true worship is all about. Now, I want to stop right here and say this to you because this is so fresh, even from this past weekend that I'm going to share with you. Because, and it's not on your paper, so you might want to write this down. All sacrifices require an altar. You don't just throw the animal. Cain didn't just come in and throw the salad on the ground. He didn't just throw the salad, the lamb on the ground. They built an altar. Everywhere you see a sacrifice, everywhere you see a memorial in the Word of God, everywhere you see someone offering worship, Noah, everybody, Abraham, all the way down the line, God required of them to build the altar. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When Elijah met the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, he did not... This is important for preachers to hear. He did not require the people to build the altar. The Bible says that Elijah himself built an altar of sacrifice. Noah built an altar. Abraham built an altar. I want to stop here and say to you that nothing we do can be offered to God without there being an altar. Why? Because the typology of that altar is everything about what we see in the cross of Jesus Christ. That Jesus wasn't just thrown on the ground. This sacrifice required an altar, and the altar was none other than the cross of Jesus Christ. Laid upon that altar, stretched out, and nailed to the cross, opened up, and his blood poured out. A bloody mess to the natural eye, but to those of us who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you tonight? Now, I want to say this to you. All sacrifices require an altar. Worship requires an altar. That's why we have altar calls at Pace Assembly. I am not preaching for your information. I am preaching and teaching for your transformation. Listen to me, generations of all types and ages. There is a necessity of you frequenting the altar. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In prayer and in sacrifice on a daily basis. Pastor, what does that mean? I don't care if it's in your closet. This morning, I was in my office. That's my altar in there in the morning. If it's an altar call calling around the altar, that does not mean that you look at one another and if nobody's moving, you stay where you are and wait till it's over and then you dart for the door. You need to make sure that you take every opportunity. If there's an altar that's opened up, then you need to make your way to that altar. Well, Pastor, that's just for sinners. No, my friend, it's for worshipers. It's for worshipers. It's for worshipers. And this is how critically important that it is. Because I'm going to read you a text that I received immediately after the service Sunday. And this is why that call me out of date, old fogey, whatever you want to call me, but as long as I live and preach this gospel, I will give an altar call. I will invite people. I'm not giving you information, then turn you out the door. If that's all there is to it, then you're going to miss the most significant part of your relationship with God, because God only meets you at the altar. Well, Pastor, you talking about that physical location up there? Well, actually, we designate a physical location in our building. When the plans were drawn for our church that we built in Destin, the architect, not knowing the kind of church, necessarily the way we had church service, he knew us, he knew Assembly God, all that kind of thing, but he didn't know really how our style of worship was. So when he plotted out the chairs in the building, he had all the chairs coming almost up to the platform. No altar space. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about a physical piece of wood that you kneel at, because you can lay flat on your face and make an altar. I don't care what it is, but there must be an altar. Why? This comes from someone who was in the service Sunday morning. And I will not name their name because I know we're streaming this, but I'm just going to read to you what he sent to me. Thanks again for everything, Pastor. You know, we've been bringing the guys around to different churches in the area as I've been introducing us and the program to pastors and churches. This is what smote my heart. You're the only service so far with an altar call. Thank you for calling the whole program down. We needed that. I'm not saying that to boast me. I'm saying to you, my dear friends, that we are living in a time where church has become simply informational push and there is no meeting God. We got to hurry up and get out the door. We got to get it. We got to get the second service in, the third service in. What are we trying to do? Create Disney World? Or do we want a church where we meet God at a bloody mess and we say, God, here I am, a sinner. Deal with my heart. Don't let me leave the same way I came in.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Join us March 15th at 6 p.m. here at Pace Assembly for Prophecy Files with guest Perry Stone. This event is free and open to the public.